In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Last week, for the third time, I was called to jury duty. And they say that good luck comes in threes, but not this time. Not this time, I was picked. One of six jurors in a personal injury lawsuit in a relatively minor car accident. Still the plaintiff was injured, so it was up to us, the jury, to determine if the accident caused it, how much to pay for medical bills, and the big one, how much, if any, to pay for pain and suffering. Suffice to say, the three oldies on the jury, over 50, we were more conservative on pain and suffering, and the younger folks on the jury were much more open-handed and liberal. Maybe just by accident, but maybe because simply the longer you live, the more you know that everyone has pain and suffering. In fact, what's that you say, plaintiff, that you have level 3 back pain? Well, I've had level 3 back pain for a long time, and it's just turning into level 4 by sitting in here in this hard chair all week. Pain and suffering. The jurors took off work and had to do their work at nights for $15 a day. Meanwhile, witness after witness, we're finding out, gets about $500 to $1,000 an hour for their appearances in court. That's a little beside the point. But the point is that some baseline of suffering is part of the human experience, so I just couldn't buy what the lawyer, who turns out to be from Morgan and Morgan, I couldn't buy his argument that his client's mild suffering made her a victim, and a lifelong victim, and she was entitled to payments to relieve that pain and suffering. Maybe it's because when I was growing up, a famous phrase of all parents, including mine, was, "I will give you something to cry about." And today, the Apostle Paul gives this plaintiff, but also gives me and gives you something to really cry about in his account of what happened to them in simply trying to follow their callings as Christians in around the 50s AD after Christ. Paul writes that they were beaten, they were stoned, as in thrown stones at them, they were imprisoned, and they despaired of their very lives, simply because they were leaders of the outlawed Christian church. You know what happened to Paul. Eventually, he was beheaded. Now that's pain and suffering. Quick, Paul, call Morgan and Morgan. Paul should first put all of our suffering in perspective as Christians. And if we live in this country, our suffering should be in perspective for how much true suffering is endured in the rest of the world, even sometimes for being Christian still. At the same time, it must be said that everyone does suffer, and you can't compare suffering. And sometimes wounds that you can't see in a person are as painful as wounds that you can see on the outside. As a priest, I am aware of how many sometimes bone-crushing sorrows, even if you can't see them, there are in all of us that we don't tend to share with others. The painful tearing apart of a divorce, the unexpected cancer diagnosis, the child that just can't find his way, the mental prison of depression and loneliness. And as a pastor, I know that pain and suffering truly is real. It's all around, and it takes a tremendous toll. But at the same time, I have never, ever seen anyone relieved permanently from pain and suffering by money. But I have seen time and time again that pain and suffering can be relieved, and even a person can be renewed by seeking God when they're in that suffering. Time and time again. It is natural when suffering befalls of us to begin bargaining, right? I was wronged, I'm entitled to be made whole, and I'm going to make all those responsible, all of you, and ultimately God, take responsibility. Fine, it's natural. But some people get stuck there, and Christians aren't supposed to get stuck there. The life and wisdom of Paul, the life and wisdom of Christ, of course, in every moment of his life, says, no, go further. Seek further. Open your Bhadrak book to any page, open your Bible to any page, and you'll find an invitation that God gives you to get through your suffering. Any page, almost. Paul gives one in the epistle today. Jesus lives one as he steers the apostles through a sudden storm of suffering and onto the other side. God speaks to our suffering through the prophet Isaiah, perhaps in the best way, in one of this season's powerful readings about suffering, and he writes this from God's perspective. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Here now is the beginning of how Christians respond to pain and suffering. By turning not to the God of Mammon, but the true living God. And when we do, our pain is not only acknowledged, but we find a partner in our pain, God himself, who suffers through and with us. A God who redeems old pain and suffering to do something new. I'll tell you again, I've seen this time and time again in my own life, in my pastoral life, and I saw it just again this week. So, tired, disoriented, and a little bit disheartened from my jury experience, I had a baptism to perform, and it had to be at night because I was busy during the day. And I came and I asked God for extra strength and the Holy Spirit because I didn't have much left in the tank. It turns out that the cause of this baptism was not only to bring these young adult children into the life of the church, but it was a response to a serious illness in the family. And I prayed with this member of the family at the baptism, and she and I both heard God's voice and felt God's Spirit. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And we also rejoiced in the new, better thing that God was up to in the life of their family with the baptisms of these wonderful adults. And we hope and believe that there will be a new wonderful thing even with her difficult sickness. And so therefore, let's recall as Christians that there is a secret of suffering which Isaiah knew, which Paul knew, and of course our Lord knew most intimately, that no one is spared from pain and suffering. And but for a few extreme examples, we shouldn't put anyone on trial for pain and suffering, most especially God. Instead, suffering is a teacher. There's an old Jesuit who said, God instructs the heart not through ideas, but through suffering. This is the great award which is ours for our pain and suffering, to be pushed beyond ourselves into something that only might be possible with and through God. For truly, in our pain and suffering, God wishes to do something new, to redeem our dead ends by the way of Christ and his cross, and renew and uplift all things in this life unto the next, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.